Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse you.
Good morning and welcome to TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go on the world's greatest radio. You're now in touch with The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and this is Radio, the way it should be heard. Today's topic will be Intelligent Resistance Number 2. We had number one, and there was quite a bit of response to that, and it has come up again, so we will go into that. So get your questions ready so that you may ask them of Mr. Fuller, or whatever question that you would like to ask. It doesn't have to be on the subject, but as the opening statement said, if you do not understand racism, white supremacy, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Mr. Fuller wrote that, and if you really are honest with yourself, if you really are honest with yourself, if you don't understand racism, white supremacy, what it is, everything else that you think will only confuse you. Powerful statement. Anyway, we're going to go into that today. Intelligent Resistance had a couple of questions about that. Another popular thing has been done is the listeners have really contributed with a list of movies, and I've had five or six letters that even spoke to that list of movies or documentaries, different series, and we will also get into that. Now, the phone lines are open. You can call this number, 1-877-932-9766, to get in contact with the show, which is the best way to get in contact with this show. You can also do this. You can go to TalkTainmentRadio.com and hit the Listen Live button, and you're there. You're there. Just also hit the like and subscribe button. Another way, if you want to view us, which you can go to the YouTube channel, type in the word Talktainment. Scroll down to radio and then type in radio, and then you'll move down again, Talktainment number 2. And when you do that, there we are live. Hit the like and subscribe button also on that one. And finally, you can do this too, facebook.com/talktainment. And finally, you can Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, @gmail.com. Now, we have a slew of Gmails, and I may not get to your question today. Most likely I won't, but we will at some point get to your question. Okay, let me start off by saying this. Good morning to you, Mr. Fuller.
Good morning.
Okay, and as usual, this particular day, how are you doing?
I'm still learning.
Okay, you're still learning. Okay, we are at number 31 on the movie list with about 9 potential to go. Of course, These are your suggestions of movies. Do you have at least four or five more before we round this bad boy out?
What was that last one that I said?
The last one, number
less.
Yeah, the last one was Best Years of Our Lives. That was
okay.
Where you start off. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's another movie that's sort of similar to that in lessons and whatnot. It's about, you may say, post-World War II era, The Best Years of Our Lives. And there's another one called The Man in the Gray Flannel Suit.
Oh, wait a minute. The Man, I'm writing this down.
The Man in the Gray Flannel Suit. And that's about business people post what we call World War II. And some lessons in that.
Okay.
Particularly those two movies, The Best Years of Our Lives and The Man in the Gray Flannel Suit.
Okay.
Kind of capsulizes how things were done at the top level of... well, first of all, among white people, their general existence after World War II in the Northwestern Hemisphere.
Yes.
And how things were done at the business level. That's the man in the gray flannel suit.
Okay.
Post what they call World War II. And
okay.
Also there's at the lower, what you might call just the average come day, go day level of people, there's another movie called Marty.
Marty?
Okay. M-A-R-T-Y with Ernest Borgnine.
Okay.
That's and one that also kind of at the same level and also giving information about the thinking of people and how they went about doing things called The Pawnbroker.
The Pawnbroker. Okay. That's not what Paul Newman is. No, probably
no,
not.
No, that was with Rod Steiger.
Oh, okay, Steiger.
It's kind of an obscure movie.
Okay, that's 34.
The setting of it is a pawnbroker shop.
Mm-hmm.
Rod Steiger plays the part of the pawnbroker.
Okay.
But the location is in Harlem, New York.
Okay.
Right.
Number 35.
And I'll say Key Largo.
Key...
That's one with Humphrey Bogart, and it keeps showing over and over again on some of the movie channels. Some of the, I think it's on TCNM that it shows a lot.
Yeah, Turner Classic Movies.
American
yeah.
Movie Classics,
mm-hmm.
So it's considered.
Okay, and the last
Key Largo.
Okay, and the last one for today?
12 Angry Men with Henry Fonda.
12 Angry Men.
Yes, there's an updated version of that, but I like the original version. I prefer that.
Is that
the way it's presented, called 12 Angry Men. It's about a trial.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Right.
All right, well, next week, we'll probably round this out. We'll start off with number 37. All right, phone lines are open. 1-877-932-9766 is the number. Our topic today is intelligent resistance number 2, but we have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. You're on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Oh, hi. How you doing?
Okay. Can you speak up a little bit?
Yeah. My question for Mr. Fuller is that, am I correct that his birthday is this weekend?
Mr. Fuller?
Hello. Go ahead.
Yeah. He said something about your birthday this weekend.
I said something about what now?
Your birthday this weekend, is it or what?
Oh, October 6th, 1929.
October the 6th, okay.
But I always say, according to the code, you only have one birthday. I like for people to think about that.
Okay.
And then you have breath days. These are all the days that you are breathing. And then the only thing you have after that is a death day. But you only have one so-called birthday. That's the day you're born. You're not born every 365 days.
Okay. Go ahead, caller.
I just want to say to you, I admire you very much, and I think you're a genius. And I know that you said your age. I believe you're like 88 or 89 years old. And I'm just curious to know how do you – I have other parents that had Alzheimer's and – I just want to know how you stay so sharp and so on point with everything, even at this age.
Okay.
Well, I'm deteriorating. I'm getting there. I mean, yes, there will come a day if I keep staying here, I won't be having this conversation on the phone. And you all will be able to tell me if I am still on the phone, say, from around 10 years from now, but I probably won't be making any sense at all. I'm probably not making sense now. That's for you to determine. That's for the listeners to determine. But, I mean, for sure, I will be deteriorating at some point.
Okay.
I just want to say to you, God bless you. Thank you. I love you, Mr. Fuller. Thank you so much. And you have a nice birth weekend, even though you don't celebrate it. You do it this time, all right? Thank you.
Well, I say that every day is a day that's given to you, and you're supposed to be on your assignment that day. And so it doesn't make any difference about when you were born. You just get to your assignment, and you keep at it until you finish your assignment or until your assignment finishes you.
Hmm. Okay. Intelligent resistance is the topic today. Phone lines again are open. Let's do this. And he told me, this gentleman told me that I could use his name, and I will. If you tell me or ask me not to use your name, I will do that too. But he said that he didn't mind me using his name. His name is Victor Palmer, and he wrote this. Mr. Bobby, can you ask Mr. Fuller if being codified with counter-racist science means being physically and psychologically able to resist daily mistreatment and subjugation by indirect and direct violence by racists? In other words, intelligent resistance.
Yes, that's what the codification is for. Everything is supposed to be about intelligence. Everything that you do is supposed to be based on intelligence, which means going about doing everything the best possible way. And that includes controlling your emotions. That's intelligent. Emotions serve a purpose, but emotions are supposed to lead you to logic. That's the purpose it serves. It's supposed to give you the incentive. That's what emotions are for, to give you drive. You got to have emotions in order to get the drive to do things. But emotions are somewhat like the steering mechanism for the engine in a car. You have to have a steering wheel. Otherwise, the engine is just running and the car is moving, but you got no steering wheel, so the car is all over the place. Okay, so emotions, that's the steering mechanism. The emotion is supposed to do the steering. So don't let your emotions get out of you. It's like taking your hands off the wheel. You got all this power going, but you don't have your hands on the wheel. That's all that intelligence and emotions, the function that they serve, that's what it's about.
Yes, sir. Okay, let's do this. TalkTeamAtRadio.com is a 24/7, no-charge, worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and politics. Now, here's one that I'm going to share with you. We had a staff meeting or a staff get-together. I believe it was last week. And I had a chance to meet some of the other show hosts. And one of the show hosts that I met was one of the show hosts of the Your Time to Travel. And I asked her several questions about that because I had been promoting that show. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you have any travel plans or any information or questions about traveling not only in the so-called United States, but all over the world, you need to tune into that show and ask them your questions. They will give you the updated and latest information on travel all across the known world. They have that information. What's good, what's not good. For example, the situation going on in Cancun. If you were thinking of going down into Cancun, you might want to put the brakes on that one because of what is going on in terms of people getting killed, the gangs and so forth are horrendous. And, you know, if you've ever been to Cancun, and I have, it is a beautiful place, and they want that money coming in there. So they're having a struggle trying to keep those gangs out of there and to make your stay safe as possible. Don't go into town of Cancun itself unless you know somebody. But in the resort area, it is just as pristine as it could be. So you might want to check that out. But before you take that trip or any other trip, not only there but all around the world, check it out on Your Time to Travel. That program is exclusive to TalkTainmentRadio.com. As a matter of fact, you can go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage for all the listings of all the shows that you'd like to pick out and check it on out. That comes from radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby, the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. We are speaking of intelligent resistance. The phone lines are open, so caller that just called, call back. We missed that particular call, but call back. You will. There you go. There you go. There you go. And then we'll try to get you on. Intelligent resistance, which the brother wanted to know about a codified response to that, and Mr. Fuller just gave that. But again, you can go also off topic if you'd like and discuss whatever you'd like to discuss. Okay, let's do this one. Okay, caller, you are now on to Mr. Fuller. What is your question, please?
Good morning, Mr. Bobby, Mr. Fuller. This is Reggie from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
Mr. Fuller, I'm not sure if you answered the question completely last week when I called in, but what is your definition of maintaining cooperating?
Well, about the same thing. It's it depends on perspective, too. The white supremacists are maintaining white supremacy, and the victims cooperate with that maintenance, and the white supremacists themselves cooperate with themselves to maintain the system. See, they put the system in place, and then everybody, and it's a prison system, and it has turned out to be the most powerful system for imprisoning people that was ever thought up in the minds of people in recorded history. That's what the evidence shows. There's nothing, no prison system more powerful than the prison system, the world prison system, called the system of white supremacy. It's the prison system. So they just maintain the prison. And you cooperate, everybody cooperates with whatever is already in place. So that's the prisoners. They're cooperating with the running of the system because we're all born, if you're a person of color, you're born in the system of white supremacy if you're on the planet now. All right? The people who were originally in prison, they were originally in prison. They weren't in prison prior to being put in prison. But everybody who's on the planet now who is classified as non-white, according to the white supremacists, these are their prisoners. That includes me and anybody with color in his or her skin. And we're prisoners of the system of white supremacy. That's a prison system. And you cooperate with that system simply by being in prison. There's no way around it. But you try to find out ways to non-cooperate as best you can for your own comfort, but with the ultimate goal of eliminating the prison system altogether and replacing it with a system of justice, because the system of white supremacy is a system of non-justice. So we are in a world prison of non-justice. Nothing in any area of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, or war is the way that it should be for anybody in a system that never should have been set up in the first place, because it's set up to do what? Dominate and mistreat people based on color.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody who's in this system, or everybody on the planet, is directly, indirectly helping that system along. because it's the only system in place. There is no other system of government on the planet. It's the dominant system of government. Now, there are so-called governments that appear to be governments, and we all governing something. Everybody governs something. You govern, if you're having a cup of tea this morning, you are governing that cup of tea. You do have some power, but it's within the system of racism. They have the top power, you might say the most powerful power. And because many people will say that, oh yeah, they're all kind of governments. Well, mm-hmm. What's he talking about? I mean, there's governments, there are thousands of governments. Sure, if you look at it that way, every person is a government.
Yes.
You govern yourself. I mean, somewhat. You walk across a room, that's governance. That's an act of government.
Yes.
You're a government if you just walk across the room, get up out of one chair and walk to another. You have that freedom of government.
Yeah, I heard that term, govern yourselves accordingly.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. I mean, but that's small government.
Yes, yes.
Big government is the system of white supremacy.
Okay.
There's no government bigger.
Okay. Last week, brother wrote in about what the Chinese are doing in Africa, $60 billion. Anyway, there was quite a few responses to that and to your response, Mr. Fuller. And here's one that comes from Negro Off Yanis. Says this, Mr. Fuller, you say that it's the system, white supremacy, that allows the Chinese to control Africa. You say that they're equal prisoners of war in the system of white supremacy as well. Well, then please explain, Mr. Fuller, how it's the case that most of the clothing, seafood, accessories were either made, produced, or processed in China versus, say, Kenya, South Africa, Zaire, or the Sudan. Why isn't or has it never been the case that an African nation has the largest or second largest economy on the planet? Or better yet, why has the white supremacist allowed the so-called yellow race to compete with them, in some cases, exceed their success? Do the white supremacists give the Chinese that $66 billion, to give the Africans? Finally, does any of this make any real logical sense in that the 21st century? Because to me, the most of the listeners here, it doesn't. And I'm saying this as someone who understands the system after years of reading your text, Mr. Fuller, and listening to your lectures. I think your premise is one from the 1940s through 60s, when much of the non-white world was under white supremacist imperialistic rule. Things have shifted a bit, with white supremacy still dominates, but in a different way from them. And lastly, to all regular callers, listeners, send your donations, because it was all of us that begged for the second hour. I have sent at least two checks so far, and we need more of the listeners to step up. I didn't read that last part, but thank you for that. Mr. Fuller, what say you concerning that? You know, are the white supremacists sponsoring the Chinese, the so-called Chinese?
We're getting a lot of interference here. I don't know if you hear it or not.
No, I don't hear any interference on
this.
You're
getting it.
Okay.
I hear two voices.
Okay. We only hear my voice and yours. Okay. For what you did here, can you explain that he wanted to know, can you explain why the Chinese are allowed to do that when the products...
I can, but you've got to tune out that other voice. You've got to find out what that voice is that's on your line.
Okay. They're working on that right now as we speak. As we speak right now. Okay. Now, can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you clearly now. I don't hear that voice
okay.
now, but I was hearing it the whole time you were talking.
Okay. For what you heard about the Chinese going into Africa and giving them those $60 billion and all that kind of stuff, the person that wanted to know, Why can't the Kenyans or the Zaires or the South Africans do that? What's going on here?
The system of white supremacy operates just that way. There's always been. They'll let one tribe, it's not just done on a large scale. This is a large-scale operation where the Chinese, because in the last 20 or 30 years, the people who are called Chinese, the people who are listed as non-white, have been given the ability, allowed the ability, by the white supremacists, either directly or indirectly, to industrialize. This has happened before in Japan many years ago. Japan was not an industrialized area.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a little island with people still using swords, as weapons and whatnot, and they weren't a real threat to the system of white supremacy. That's why the white supremacists were able to go into Japan and tell them, among the people who call themselves Japanese, rather, and tell them, you will industrialize because I need an industrial foothold in this place called Asia, and you're going to be it. And then I will use you to keep everything stabilized in this area of the world. That seems to have been the premise. I think history will bear me out on that, give or take a few adjustments. But basically, that's what happened. And then they had a falling out because the people who were given the industrial capabilities that they had gotten from, directly or indirectly, from the white supremacists said, you industrialized us, but we're not really getting a whole lot out of it. And so then there was conflict about that, okay? It's just like the white supremacists going into a prison cell and say, I'm going to give you a whole lot more than what I give the rest of the prisoners. And because I'm going to use you to stabilize this entire cell block. Maybe one or two of you are my chosen here. I'm going to use you to stabilize this area, but for my sake, I'm going to use you to be a sort of a hammer to keep everything, or a centerpiece to keep everything in flux, mm-hmm, the way I want it in this particular area. Okay? Now, it could be that they're doing the same thing with the people who are called Chinese here in 2018, but on a much larger scale, because now what is happening? People are becoming more and more intelligent. The dark-skinned people of the world, on account of what? The inventions that have come about in the system of white supremacy. Inventions like better communications. Better communications always makes people more intelligent because they're in contact with people more than they ever have been, mm-hmm, in previous history.
Okay.
So the white supremacists understand all this. So in a capsule, in answer to the question, all of the non-white people have a tendency to fight each other, just like all the Indian tribes. That's how they were all conquered. They were busy fighting each other. They were spending full time when they weren't just taking care of their everyday hunting and fishing and things like that. They were in their own folklore, they say, we were warriors. They did war dances all the time.
Yes.
The white supremacists looked at that. And they say, hey, we can take advantage of these people, mm-hmm, real easy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they always going around in the northwestern hemisphere calling themselves Pawnees and Creeks,
yes,
Cherokees and Algonquins.
Yeah.
And they got all kinds of tribes.
Okay, well, I got a hold. Okay, I have to hold it there, Mr. Fuller.
Yes, sir.
Okay, talktimeatradio.com. We go where you go. Check us out on 94.1 WGRN. Podcasts are available. Download the talktimeatradio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We're still discussing intelligent resistance. All that and your phone calls and Gmails coming up next. We'll be right back.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin' online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin' products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin' candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
Everyone's talking about the Meet the Candidates form. St. Dominic Roman Catholic Church, 453 North 20th Street, Columbus, Ohio. Saturday, October 20th from 10 to 1 with S. Yolanda Robinson and Kahari Inoharo as moderators. It's sponsored by Blacks in Government, Federally Employed Women, and a host of other organizations. Come out and meet the candidates and find out who really supports your issue.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at lifeskillshs.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inoharo, the author of the Essence magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTimeRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Just download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. And today's discussion is Intelligent Resistance 2. We addressed this before, and we got a lot of communication about it again. And some people don't really understand what intelligent resistance is. Mr. Fuller, in your words, could you explain what intelligent resistance is? Hello, Mr. Fuller?
Hello, there. I hear another voice on the line.
Okay, now I'm the only one that's speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. The question was, can you explain what intelligent resistance is?
It's nothing but using your intelligence to resist. That's all. Intelligence, meaning your brain. It's not going about doing things just any kind of old way. I mean, there's a scientific way for doing it. Hello?
Yes, still here.
There's a scientific way of doing everything. Scientific meaning where you get the best result. That's all intelligence resistance is. There's nothing mysterious about it. It's just a term. It's just a word. And what does those two words mean, intelligence resistance? It means going about resisting the system of white supremacy in the best possible way that can be done. This is what you should try to achieve, whether you're trying to replace the system of white supremacy with justice, or if you're changing the tire on a car. You're using intelligence to resist the fact that the tire needs changing. All right? The tire needs changing because something is incorrect with the tire, like the tire is flat. All right? So you repair the tire, take it off, or whatever you have to do, or leave it on if you can do it in a more efficient manner that way. Always try to do it in the most efficient manner. That's where the intelligence is. That's all it means.
Would that be where a code would be necessary? You would have to
Yes. If you have a code for something, I've heard about some things happening recently because there were fires, some large fires that have taken place.
Yes.
Saw it on television the other day. And the fire people said, well, yes, naturally there was going to be a fire because the electrical system in this building was not up to code. Also, I saw another one where a building was sinking into the ground,
yes.
Parts of the building.
Yes.
And they said, oh, well, we didn't follow the code for building a foundation in this section of the building.
Yes.
So let's get back to the code and bring this up to code specifications, and the whole building won't fall down. Because we will have done everything according to the way you have to do it in this type of ground.
Okay.
The ground is soft, so you have to use materials and you have to use a support system that's much different from the support systems that we have used probably in other places. So this building has to be brought up to code.
Mm-hmm.
This foundation has to be brought up to the codified way of having a foundation in this type of surface.
So every
type of ground.
Mm-hmm. So every problem that we encounter, there has to be a logical, codified way to respond to that problem. And you start off by asking questions. Would that be correct?
That is the correct way to do it. Questions and answers. Get all of the answers that you need in order to answer a question of how best to put this building up, where to put it. I mean, how tall is it going to be?
Yes, sir.
Will the ground stand the weight that this building will have?
Yes.
This all has to be codified. Codification, intelligence, resistance, it's just a way of going about doing things in mm-hmm. the best possible manner.
Oh, right.
If you want to put it in simple language.
Yeah, simple
language.
Okay.
The best possible manner of doing and saying everything.
Okay. From the Gmails, good morning, Mr. Bobby, Mr. Fuller. About that movie list, Mr. Fuller, I have a more recent series, for the listeners, that scared me motionless when I realized that it's about white supremacy and its future plans. The very controversial series called The Handmaid's Tale has disturbing scenes of mistreatment in it. Even though its plot takes place in a supposed post-racial world, all of what is happening in it is also really happening in the real world and representative of what's happening in the real world of people of color. Those colonies that they send offenders off to in the series represent the real colonies of the white man on this planet. People with color in the skin living in all of them are heading to conditions in the colonies portrayed in that series. The conditions of the handmaids in it is what the white supremacists are aiming for when it comes to their future reign of terror over non-white peoples on this planet. The author, Margaret Atwood, tries to hide it, but the white feminist circles that she frequented i.e. the suffrages, etc., forms part of the overall practicing ranks of the global white supremacist enslaver cult. Mr. Fuller, your thoughts on that?
I haven't heard about the movie or the book or the script or anything like that, but what's the name of it?
The name of it, wait a minute, because it's small here. It's called The Handmaid's Tale. The Handmaid's Tale.
The Handmaid's Tale. Yeah. T-A-L-E.
That's correct.
The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I haven't heard of it, but always look for the lessons in anything that you're looking at. And it's kind of difficult to make movies that's got a lot of lessons in them. I mean, particularly nowadays, because the most of what you call the blockbuster movies are really for people to be thrilled by this spectacular way that the movie is made.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, explosions and all like that.
Special effects.
But I say that some of the best movies are the movies that have lessons. And movies that have lessons in each scene, sometimes you have to kind of really look for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because they'll just, you know, pass by you. But try to find lessons in every movie that you look at. And look at the movies that have lessons. And
okay.
Sometimes people have asked me, well, why would you look at the same movie over and over again, Fuller? I say, it's like reading the same book over and over again. I say, you keep looking for lessons. Lessons that you missed the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Or lessons that reinforce whatever it is that you are thinking now.
Okay.
Or that eliminates some of the things that you're thinking now, because it gives you another perspective.
Yes, sir.
So that should be the purpose for anything, whether it's a movie or a book, from now on, that any person of color, when you look at a movie, if that movie doesn't have some lessons in it that you can use, then that movie shouldn't be on your list.
Okay. Now,
right.
With that being said, have you seen or heard anything about the movie Black Panther, and if you have, what lessons could be gleaned from that particular movie? Everybody's been talking about it. Everybody's doing the Wakanda thing. Have you seen or heard anything about that?
I have heard about the movie, and I have not seen it. There's several movies I've heard about that I have not seen, Get Out and The Black Klansman. But I'm saying, when you look at any of these movies, particularly movies that include black people, look for the constructive lessons that you can get out of them. Because most movies, historically, that are made that include black people, it's, when you look at it, the average black person that looks at it, if to the extent that a white supremacist had anything to do with it, there will be most of the things in it, or some of the things, or a substantial number of things, that will lead a black person's mind in the incorrect direction. And it will be very supportive of the system of white supremacy indirectly. I mean, a lot of the movies made in the 1970s caused black people to think in a manner that black people should be what? Thugs. Gangsters.
Mm-hmm.
That was the basic lesson of the movies, and you had many millions of black people worldwide who came out of a movie theater, and whether they knew it or not, what they really wanted to be more than anything else ever was a gangster, a thug, somebody who was going to mistreat people, somebody who was going to what you call dog women around, all right, and all like that. And that's what these movies were teaching.
Okay.
Okay? And that was the biggest influence. So, black people who are in the movie-making business, even though you might have, to be realistic, you might have some gangsters in it. And here in 2018, they should be thinking about, do you have a constructive lesson anywhere in this movie?
Alrighty.
Do you have something that a person can go out of this movie thinking about, hey, this is something that I should do? that I never thought about doing.
Right.
That would be of constructive value.
Okay.
That'll get something done that'll be constructive for black people.
All right. Let's take this phone call. Go ahead, caller. You're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, caller.
Good morning. I have a second suggestion about the economic area that Levy Fuller talked about. There's a book that was written about 300 years ago by Adam Smith. It's called The Wealth of Nations. It's about a 1,000-page book.
Did you say The Wealth of Nations?
Yeah.
Okay.
Inquiry to the Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith. It was written about 250 years ago, or 300 years ago. It's about 1,000 pages long, and it goes through a lot of detail about how economics, as we know it today, had evolved over time. It talks about how land usage, as far as rent, as far as how to use cattle, sheep and cows and that sort of thing. Talks about fishing, fisheries and stuff like that.
Yes.
About that, because people, even though you got a ship, still got to bring the fish to the land, and it's rent that you have to pay for that.
Okay.
It talks about that, and it talks about the military, how that funded. It goes through a whole lot of things, the evolutionary process of economics, how money came to be used as money, as metals, coins, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And also, one more thing, he said, in the book, I was talking about the military thing, how the colonies start in the West Indies, and why the West Indies is called the West Indies. So you can take it, for a grain of salt, whether you believe it or not. But that gives some basis about that.
Okay.
You can also find the book in audio form on YouTube. It's about 36 hours long. It's hard to follow. But if you basically listen to that, you do get a sense of what each idea. I don't know about the listeners, but for me.
Okay.
It transformed me a little bit.
All righty. All right. Thank you very much for that. We'll try to check that out. Mr. Fuller, before we talk about your book, here is a question for you. It says, this comes from Maynard. It says this, please ask Mr. Fuller, is the term intelligent resistance in the code book? Is it so? If it's so, what page? If not, why is it being discussed?
Well, it's being discussed because someone asked about it.
Exactly. Exactly. Someone asked about it. So we
That's
just,
it.
Yeah, but now Maynard wanted to know, is the term in the book, in the code book?
It's in there because that's where the person said they got it. I have
exactly.
That's, I've forgotten a lot of them.
That's where the person... That's where,
and certainly, I've since I didn't put the page numbers together myself, I don't know what page a lot of my material is on. I haven't read my own book, the revised expanded edition.
Yes.
It's not in the original edition.
No.
But it is in the revised expanded edition and or the word guide. So, but words are just tools. I want people to get in the habit of, don't be too much fascinated by words. Pay attention to the definitions. See, just look at the definitions. Most of the definitions of the words that I have in the word guide, all of them explain what the words mean when they are used by me. Now, a lot of these words will mean something else when they're used by somebody else.
That's correct.
But I have my definitions in there.
Yes.
Okay? But you can use these words. Word is nothing but a tool. So you can use a term the way that you want to use it, if it does the job that you want done. A word is nothing but a tool to do a job that needs doing.
Yes.
By whom? By the person who is trying to do the job.
That's correct.
That's any word.
Any word.
Words are not fixed in the universe like this is absolute. No, mm-hmm. They're absolute when you make them absolute. Okay.
Okay.
That'll be your perspective.
Yeah.
And then you want to change the definition of a word? Change it.
Okay. This is why it is important, listeners, that you also read the book. It's important. And Mr. Palmer, he told me I could use his name, Victor Palmer, read the book and got that term out of there, intelligent resistance. You need to read the book. You say phone lines? Okay. Go ahead, caller. You're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good day to you, gentlemen.
Yeah, I was calling in because I heard Mr. Pillar talking about, you know, like building codes and just following codes. One thing that I definitely noticed is that, you know, with the system of racism, white supremacy, from the way that I see it, federal law, even state law, they call it codes and statutes that they follow. And basically just showing how even under their system, you know, they have codes that they want us to follow. But what I found interesting was that when you look it up, it's called colorable law, which is fictional law. So it's not even real. And it's actually, if you look up a colorable law, the Attorney General's office comes up and they call it a deprivation of rights under color of law, showing that they're operating under fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to call them out on it, because if you don't, then you consent to it. So it's almost like they give you a chance to either consent to what they're doing or not consent. So I think that's where the slavery comes in as well. If you do know, then it's like you're operating under that slavery. And that was just something that I caught. And just to add something for Mr. Fuller, I did see Black Panther. And what I found interesting was, here was Black Panther, where you had basically imagery of, you know, black people, you know, in a in an industrial age, as you were saying before, but they brought in this CIA agent in the movie. He's like almost like the only white guy in the movie. And they get, and at first they're calling him a colonizer, you know, everything in the book, but then he ends up almost helping to save the show. So it just shows how in a system of racism, white supremacy, you can have the intention of having a movie where you're building up black people, but there has to be some white person
mm-hmm.
that's a hero in the movie. So I just wanted to chime that in, you know, for the people as well.
Okay, thank you very much for that information and update. Mr. Fuller, we're a little bit past time, but this is the time where you need to speak to your book. So go ahead, Mr. Fuller.
Go to producejustice.com. That's producejustice.com. And what will come up on the screen is a brief description of a basic revised expanded edition of the original 1984 edition. The original 1984 edition is also there, because some people have requested that for some reason, but the revised expanded edition has material, most of the material in it that's in the original edition, plus a whole lot more. Now, a lot of people, for some reason, they like the 1984 edition. That's why it's back up there. They requested it, and so it's back there. But it's the revised expanded edition has more material in it, plus the material that is in the 1984 edition for the most part. Now, it's kind of written differently and all like that. But if you get the revised expanded edition, you will have just about everything that's in the original edition, plus a whole lot more. It's a thicker book. It covers much more material. It's more directive.
Yes.
And yes, it's a lot more material in it that gives you directions about what an individual person can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it does it in a more explicit form, in my opinion. However, for some reason, people sometimes they get both, which is something I don't understand. But so be it. It's right there at producejustice.com.
Yes.
Now, in addition to that, there's an addition to, you might say, to both books. It's in the form of a compensatory codified word guide. Now, this book is just an extension of the revised expanded edition and the original edition. But most people get the package, which is the revised expanded edition and the word guide,
mm-hmm.
Because there is no word guide in the
original
revised expanded edition. But go to producejustice.com, and the material in it is the directed to the individual person, not the organizations. Organizations can use it, but you are not supposed to try to form an organization out of the book. It defeats the purpose. It's called the United Independent System, where the individual person becomes an organization, because the concept is, if you solve the problems of each individual person, you solve the problems of all persons. And the concept also includes the theory that the white supremacists can deal with so-called black organizations, for example. They know how to crush them, mm-hmm. because most organizations have a leader. Mm-hmm. So all they have to do is just keep the leader corralled or kill him or her. They can do that easily, yeah. okay? Or they fence them off into that little box called the organization. Most organizations have names. But when you organize the individual person so that the person becomes an organization within him or herself, then the racist cannot defeat that without defeating every person of color on the planet.
All right.
Because that person, him or herself, by following a counter-racist code, is an organization. Because that's all an organization does, follow a code. So when you organize each person so that that person is complete within him or herself without having to look around and see what everybody else is doing, that person has a code. That person is an organization within him or herself. That's the concept.
Yes.
And the white supremacists will not be able to deal with that as far as the intelligence that we have now here on the planet.
Right. Okay. That to me, that sounds
good. Go to producejustice.com.
And all that is on there. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Sharnice, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, had a good right, I'm reading. She says, good morning, Mr. Fuller and Mr. Bobby. A movie that I believe could help others understand the system of racism, white supremacy, is called The Edge. It really shows the impotency of black males in the system, in my opinion. And I bring that out, and very good question, because in our morning discussion, that was brought out, that last term, the impotency of black males in the system. Have you heard of that movie, Mr. Fuller, The Edge?
I haven't heard of it, but everything that you're looking at shows how impotent black people are in the system of white supremacy, because that's what white supremacy means. It means we're impotent. We're prisoners of war. We were born in prison. That's a simple way and a truthful way of looking at it. We are born in prison. We have never been outside the prison. There's no such thing as being outside the prison. There's no place you can go in the known universe where you will be outside of a prison, and the name of that prison is the system of white supremacy. They are supreme over all people of color, black, brown, red, yellow, tan, beige, any people of color. The white supremacists have total supremacy over each and every collective and each and every individual, even when it appears that they don't have it. They have it. Why? Because they have the ability to kill anybody
at any time
that yeah. they don't like,
right,
that they think ought to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
They have this instant ability to do that.
Okay.
Even when they pretend that they don't have it.
All right.
That's a part of their power.
We got to hold it right there, and we'll pick it up on the other side. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, and radio the way it should be heard. Thank you, listeners, for the pleasure of your time. You don't have to do this, but thank you. Thank you for all your calls. Thank you for all your letters. Stay tuned for the second hour of the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., heard here exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. That is radio the way it should be heard.